Oh, trashy de life. Very happy to meet again online. We didn't have a English class for a while, but we were carrying other Chinese classes during these years. This year's first, I will say, think happy Thanksgiving almost arrived tomorrow. And then we're going to start to, this is a class or mind training class or attitude training class. So before that, I will recite some short prayers. May all sentient beings enjoy happiness and the causes of happiness. May they be free from suffering and causes of suffering. May they never be separated from the great happiness devoid of suffering. May they dwell in the great equanimity that is free from attachment and aversion. So this is a bodhicitta, four aspirations, immeasurable aspirations, immeasurable loving kindness, immeasurable compassion, immeasurable rejoice, and immeasurable equanimity in these four lines. And our today's class is about mind training. So there are a long history of mind training over kind of 1,000 years in Tibet, and also, of course, before in India or other places. Buddhism introduced to Tibet already 1,300 more years. In the beginning, there are not much kind of deep studies, only prayers, this. So plus these years, around 1,500 total years in Tibet, roughly. And especially this teaching of attitude training or mind training, widely introduced by Atisha tradition. Atisha originally came from Bangladesh. He's a king, kind of a royal family belonged to in those days. And he originally also, the father wanted to him to support the political aspect of the in local the country, but Atisha followed more interested to spiritual life and teachings, and eventually he brought his teacher and other places, the people, to the palace, and then they were concentrated on the study and doing many activities. So the father didn't like much, so he finally gave up, said he let the people follow Atisha, follow his teacher and other people, and leave the country. And then Atisha also went to many monasteries visit, and inspired by some pure vision or some Takini's inspiration. And he's actually in that time in Buddha Gaya. He was doing some circumambulations, and he heard of some said, like one wanted to attain enlightenment. So what is the most important thing? Then it's a bodhicitta. And then he wondering where I can exercise, practice the bodhicitta, weakened mind. Then the Queen Tara having some clear sign show him, and said that you should go to Sumatra Island, Indonesia. And then he spent a dangerous journey through boat to Sumatra Island, meet called the Golden Island Dharmakirti Master. And then he stayed there 12 years, came back to India. And actually, no, those days, they don't have differentiate as a nowadays. This Bangladesh and India as a two country, but used to, there are kind of a, there are different kings, but it's considered one. From outside region, they call them India, same. So we don't say Atisha came from Bangladesh, but we say from India, including some great masters from Pakistan nowadays. And then their history books, textbook, they say refer as India. We don't say Pakistan because Pakistan in Bangladesh become independent. Now the modern concept of country, not after only 1947, and Bangladesh is much later, little later. They got independent, I think, in the 50s or 60s. I'm not quite sure. So, and then Atisha, there are long story. I don't want to tell all the stories, but Atisha invited by Tibetan, one small kingdom in northern western side of Tibet. His name is Thab Lama Ishi, or he's kind of a descent of Tibetan king, but in 840s, Tibetan Empire breaking to the pieces, or we can say collapse that empire. And then the many warlords have their own territory and become small kingdoms and all of place. But the Thab Lama Ishi, he is a real descent of the what called Sambo, the emperor kind of lineage, blood lineage. And then he, that time in Tibet already have a very developed a few hundred years Buddha Dharma in Tibet. So there are a lot of monasteries and also scholars, translators. But also due to the social unrest and turbulence, they still have a shortage, or we can say there are not much monastery monks in the monastery. Most people, lay people, practice, lay practitioners, because before that the before Atisha came to Tibet over 100 years, their kin who, reach the point they want to limit Buddhist development in Tibet. That's the one kin. He himself, although he's a Buddhist, he's a kind of practitioner of Buddhism, but he also facing many pressures from territories of other region. They need more economic development and also military development. So monks, they don't support military and also not much contribution towards social economy. So then this king did many policies and also eventually came also assassinated by other people. So then chaotic kind of a situation occurs for over a long period of time. So then the number of monks and nuns are very low. So then the Lama Isshio, he wanted to invite a Pandita or great scholar from India. He heard Atisha is one of the most profound, knowledgeable person who can teach. And he said, only in that time in India, only in the two people understand or know the Hindu, the other non-Buddhist and the Buddhist philosophy very well, upper hand. The best one is Atisha, and the one is, I think, Naropa, I think. These two are great that period of time. Then this Kalama Isshio, he invited Atisha to Tibet, but that was also not easy. He sent some young people who also willing to do this mission to invite Atisha. But long journey also on the way, there are a lot of dangers. They kept some gold in their hand, their belonging, and they're hiding some gold everywhere. And some people, because due to climate or the weather differences, they got sick or food differences. In Nepal especially, easily get poisoned by some people. So I also read one Chinese book, in Tang Dynasty, and there are a lot of people, monks, take pilgrimage and visit India. And many people wanted to take a short road through Nepal to Tibet, this line. But many people get poisoned and killed. So more dangerous road in that area. And then eventually Atisha is already 50 something years. The first people, I think 6 or 7 or something, in first time they have I don't quite remember numbers, but a few, I think a dozen or half a dozen people went to the monastery, Vrakamashila, and want to invite Atisha. But after they heard that their motive is to learn Sanskrit and language and try to invite Atisha, then they have the monasteries don't want this great master, should stay in India, not go to Tibet. So these people are not able to successfully invite him. And only one person stayed there for a long time. And he's kind of mastered local and other different languages. He quietly kind of stayed there and keep learning. Many people disappointed and turned to Tibet. Someone died on the way. And then second wave, or also sent few people, less number, just try to try again. That time, the Thapa Lama Yishi, or this person, captured by Nepalese, some warlord, because that is the boundary, what's it called, the countryside of the this, I think with, those regions are become between India, Nepal and the Tibet area, Tibetan area, middle area. So Shanchiwa, who is he's kind of a new Thapa Lama Yishi, become very old. He already had a successor issue, Shanchiwa. Then this young kind of king, that time king area not big, we can count. And nowadays maybe in Tibet the land is big, so it's, but nowadays those area maybe considered as maybe two or more counties considered as one kind of a small kingdom. It's not big, small. Although they have a bigger, they belong to bigger kind of a kingdom, but they have a sub kingdoms there. So he captured, and then this Nepali kingdom, that warlord wanted to receive money from Shanchiwa, and said you should bring the money, the gold, big as your, I think it's ankle, become similar kind of a size of your ankle, otherwise we don't release him. And then he's accumulating the wealth and from other places, because those area is have a mining gold for long history, famous for gold. But he only accumulated kind of about size of one human body, still have a shortage of some kind of according to some his the book said still kind of have a gap of a head of a human being, like big as gold. And then he received a letter from his uncle, said, oh, I'm already 70 years old, more than 70, and you shouldn't spend the country's wealth to kind of buy me back, or come for the spending money for me. I'm old anyway, I have to die. I can do something good, and if you want to do some good for me, you should make those good for a purpose of invite to, you sent people and invite Atisha to Tibet. And so this is, he doesn't matter, he wants to die, or if you, I'm come back to country, sooner or later I have to die. So we make good use of that money you already accumulated. So he said that. So this is a kind of a life committed event. Then the Shanchiwa went to sent a second wave of the people to that monastery, Varkamashila, and then invited Atisha. They also they have long history stories, but first they had opportunity to meet Atisha. They were very disappointed, because they thought Atisha must be very magnificent and dignified or something very special being. But once they are hardly to visit, but eventually they had some channel to meet. And so Adija taking some events, ceremony or Buddhist ceremony, but he's a 50 something year old, little skinny and a little bit kind of, his back is forward, little bit lower shoulder, and had some key or something on his, side of, what's it called? The bell or something that has a key. Lot of key. And then he said, then these people said, maybe we should, this looks not very kind of a, if we invite these, the looks not a very impressive person. So should we go to some other place to find a kind of other great scholar? And then they said, oh, this, the, from the Vrikamashilam one, they were connected person helping them to invite, said Atisha, although you don't appear like a very dignified or something, but his knowledge is uncompetable. And Atisha also said, you look me maybe kind of a doorman or something, have a lot of key on me, something. I'm not the head of a monastery. I have to do some chore or something in his level. He's doing something daily. If there are people asking him to go, invite him to go to Tibet, and then he said, I should show request from Dara. Green Dara, and he always he always inspired me, and I have to kind of make some prophecies from Dara. And then Atisha eventually had a dream or pure vision, said, if you go to Tibet, your life will be only 70 something years, you will depart. If you stay in India, your life long, you could stay long life over kind of 90s. So you're going to shorten your life 20 years if you go to Tibet. Otherwise, if you decide to go to Tibet, you can benefit Tibetan people very much. And then Atisha made the decision, go to Tibet, but the monastery still also don't want to, Atisha leave, so he and his the inviter team commit said only visit Tibet 3 years, and then we'll definitely return to India, and then eventually they have a long journey. On the way, his best the translator passed away in Nepal. I think that then it's just sick. And then Atisha also very disappointed, said maybe I'm not disappointed, but I think some kind of a, he said the best translator passed away, so I cannot speak Tibet. What use I go to Tibet? Because not many Tibetan can able to translate language. So, and also some people do, they are great translators, but they have their own mission and their own kind of lineage, have to hold the study and the teachings. So very famous Marba Lotsawa, translator Marba. They met in Nepal. I think it's in a swimming pool that he met, but they tried to invite Marba go with them to Tibet. But Marba said, I have to go to meet their kind of teacher, Naropa. And then when they arrived in Tibet, they also saw Renchim Zampo, the great translator, but he also busy in his kind of work. And then another person followed inviting him to Tibet, the one person, Lodru, I don't remember the name, but he eventually catch up and he knew some Indian language, not very well, but able to do kind of a basic translation. And even they are getting better and better over the years. And after 3 years, they want to go back to India because they have some promise have to keep. But by the way, on the way back, they also have a passing through the war in that time in Nepal. So they decide to return to not safe. So Atisha said, we keep our promise, but the war situation, as you know, already very difficult to get through this area. So allowed me to stay in Tibet the rest of my life. Then the monastery also agrees after kind of received letter. It's like that. So this lineage, the from Atisha is like that. Then Atisha has a very famous student, three of them. One of the his student, Atisha's student, is this called the Kadam Manasa. The Atisha does create lineage in Tibet called Kadam. Ka is the words of a Buddha. Dham means the pith instruction. So the Buddha's pith instruction lineage, like that. He make the teachings very accessible for ordinary beings or not professional Buddhist scholars or something, but or normal people understood and also able to practice that kind of lineage. That also, they have Gautam also has the very extensive scholar way to study developed later. But these original meaning is like that. So he's one student of him is Geshe Potowa. Some people consider Potowa is emanation of Manjushri. And Potowa has then the third generation of teaching is Geshe Sharowa and Geshe Longrepanpa. So the eight training of the mind or attitude, training of attitude. This text, eighth verses of training of the mind came from Longrepanpa. So Longrepanpa considered as the Potowa's moon-like student. And Sharowa is like sun-like student. So belong these two, Geshe Sharowa and Geshe Longrepanpa, they are both belong to one teacher. The lineage belong to one teacher. That's the Potowa. Potowa is the student of Atisha. So now we said about this text also have another story. That story is another name called Chikawa. Of course, this name may be easy to forget, but if you remember, the Atisha is the primary kind of a teacher for this lineage. Gautam, creator of the Gautam lineage. And then there are many Rongdongba other students, but one important his student is the Potowa. Atisha Potowa. Then Potowa student is this 8 verses training of the mind, the author of this called Mangretamba. And then another story is someone who won't try to study this 8 like us. If we have this opportunity to try to have some kind of a karmic connections to study this 8 verses training of the mind. So in the time by 11th, 12th century, around that time, one practitioner, his name is Geshe Chikawa. He later become a very famous author, and he has a one famous book called 7-point training, mind training, 7-point, the 7-point mind training. Also, I think if you want to later study that, it's a very, very good one. And this Geshe Chikawa, in his early time, he visited his friend, and he saw a small pamphlet, kind of a small layer of books, the reading kind of a book. And then he saw a line, on that one line said, give others your kind of profit and win, success, and take their blame and defeat on yourself. And when he heard of this, he was very kind of amazed, or he can say he had a very great impact on him. How such a person able to kind of practice this aspiration, these kind of special aspiration, how kind his mind should be, can take all blame and defeat on yourself and give others the success and profit, that kind of. We all opposite. We're taking profit and success and blame others and defeat others. In this kind of society or time of these degenerate. So this is, as a practitioner, he was very, very touched by these words. And then he asked his friends, said, who wrote this verses? And then his friend said, oh, this is from Lungretamba. And he lives in Langre, or the place. It's quite far from his place. And then he said, oh, I shall visit this person, and who practicing this kind of a precious quality. He was cultivating this, or already successfully have this quality. So he wanted to meet this teacher. He's have some kind of a realization that he may want to make his life useful, and then he starting to try to visit Lungretamba, and he set his journey to that direction. And then he eventually reached the Lhasa in Tibet, that big city, and he was trying to find some people from the Lungre or the area, Geshe Lungretamba stays, and didn't meet much people from there. But only one lady who was very sick in that area, he met her, and then he said, the Lungretamba is still there. This lady said, oh, you are too late. he already passed away. And then this Geshe Chikawa was very sad, that took long journey, wanted to meet Geshe Langri Tengpa. How come he passed away already? So he wanted to take the, so he just said that he cannot get the oral transmission. So usually in Tibetan or Buddhist culture, or these trainings consider take transmission, oral transmission, very important. Have some kind of small, the teacher, maybe sometimes it's private one-to-one or one-to-group of people to read this during this ceremony. A spiritual kind of teacher reads the loud or recite from his memory and without any mistake, reading the Buddhist text or mantra or people, his own writing to disciple who listen attentively. And so both one read and the other person hear, the best is to understand that meaning words. And also sometimes given an explanation in not easy understand kind of part of the, there are different type of the transmission, oral transmission. Some are explaining, some are just reading transmission. So that's called some kind of unbroken lineage, that like scriptures from Buddha should one person to another person trace back to the Indian great masters, even Buddha. We believe of this kind of a pure lineage. So that then this difficult. So he dissatisfied with this condition that I cannot directly get transmission from Langri Tangpa, but some other people also said that you should visit his student, another the what's it called? He's not a student. He's a same teacher. They have received teachings from Potowa. That is, he's similar like a classmate, or Geshe Langri Tangpa, his kind of a brother, Roger brother, or you can say Buddhist kind of a companion or Buddhist Sangha is in same teacher. It's, his name is the, Sharawa. So, let's see. So then he went to Sharawa's place, and Sharawa was giving kind of a big teachings that many people listen and his teaching. But he found Sharawa giving some more teachings on the Theravadan tradition, not much Mahayana teaching that time, to giving some Hinayana text, or you can say basic vehicle, this text from, so that he not have much interest about that. And he hope he can hear some Mahayana words, but he didn't heard of from this Sharawa. And he disappointed, but after this course of teaching, he, Geshe Sharawa, went to monastery doing some circumambulation. Then Chikawa went to meet him, and he took his monastery cushion or cover with him, placed it on the platform, and asked him to stay and teach Sharawa. Said, so I settled my disciples' doubt on my throne at the discourse. So why you stop me at this place in a halfway of a circumambulation? So Chakawa explained him, said, I have a very, his story about, he had written, they read two kind of short verses of this from Narottama, and he tried to reach Narottama and not find. So long journey. And then he asked Sharova, he wanted to hear more from him. And the Sharova said, oh, whether you are impressed or not, this is a very important teacher. Unless you don't want to attain enlightenment, otherwise this is a very important training, mind training or attitude training is most important, very important. So, and why the Chikawa asked also him, say, why you don't teach Mahayana kind of teachings in the course, at the course earlier, than Sharawa said that I don't want to waste of words. There are not much people will put into practice. That means the Mahayana teachings, if you just want to hear or study, that's fine. But for more, the aim, the fundamental aim or final aim is to put into practice. If some people are not able to put into practice, then he said, this is a waste of my words for those people who aren't going to put them into practice. So Chikawa, they impressed with the interview, and he asked for further teaching, and then Sharawa, this teaching called the attitude training or mind training, or especially that words of the taking the defeat and giving others your profit away and the success and take the defeat and blame on yourself. That kind of words, it's kind of came from which kind of category of teachings. And then the Chikawa, the Sharawa, he explained, said, this is a precious garland from the precious garland from Nagarjuna, Rana Valley, and said Nagarjuna is kind of recognized by all Mahayana lineages, whether all the kind of Mahayana world belong, they recognize him as a master, lineage master. So this is the end of the Ranavali written similar kind of words, and said, please give me teaching on that, the Sharawa. Actually, he wants to study, accept defeat on myself and giving victory to others. That kind of spirit is very suitable for him. And Sharawa also said, then I can teach you, but you should stay longer period of the time. Not like before. He just don't want to. He hear Sharawa teaching the Theravadan traditional kind of teachings. In one course, he already upset. But he said, you should stay there for a long period of time. So totally, he spent 14 years with the Sharawa. And then he become very great kind of a scholar and also bodhisattva, meditate always in the many bodhicitta mind training aspect of practice. So this is how that time people inspired, but each person is different. Some people will say, accept defeat on yourself is difficult. You see, this our election, you can see it, both sides win or lose, or very difficult to accept. Or it's normal days, mundane kind of life, a small, even very small things. People have a tend to not to accept that kind of any small defeat, and then give a victory to others. It's really difficult. Some are designed like that. Even you play chess or poker or something, other things, people want to win, not to kind of a defeat. Some are maybe just a game. They have not much kind of an other attitude. But some people have the anger and some shame or feeling of not good, or they are feeling if you any something lose or some bad thing happens, then not willing to accept. Even some people say, oh, you're one, two people say, oh, you are more smarter than the other one. Then make people, one people were happy, another people will be sad, feeling sad. So these teachings are mind training. In the beginning, especially, some people will say, oh, this is not for me. It's for some people who are willing to do that. Gradually they will understand, actually life is like that. We are not always can achieve what we want. Whether you accept willingly or unwillingly the defeat of some, or you can say lose something, or unhappy moment, or these are common. Frequently happens from big or small, sometimes it would happen. So then if you have the training, give others more profit and win from your side, you will be more rich. If you don't, you're very selfish and then defeated, then you have a additional suffering. But if you are not selfish, you defeat, but you easily, more easily accept. And also in a human relationship, many pain and suffering from people between human relations. And then if you, whether it's a children or a father side or relative, co-workers or any kind of a social engagement, if you have this attitude to give others kind of a chance or give others fair or even more kind of a opportunity, giving them a more kindness and a more tender care, tender heart, and giving more care, then it will be the atmosphere or the relationship or the many become very warm and happy. If people always blame to others and then never blame themselves, then that person tend to really more suffering or curse or more chance to feel was dry or these difficulties. So if you know someone who willing to kind of make your success and profit and then take on blame and then defeat on some himself, then you will automatically have this trust and also want to do same thing to others. Maybe some people not, but many people is like that. So this is not, of course, it's a kind of a simple strategy, try to do this for self kind of cherishing attitude, but genuinely wanted to do this is more, you think it's not only some people in history can practice this, but we can practice too in gradual level, step by step. You know, sometimes it's not that difficult, maybe, or this possibility you can practice, this chance is there. So this is although we can not fully kind of practice apply into ourselves, but at least we have a admire people who can do this, and how kind, how kind of compassionate must be for taking this kind of a spirit and attitude. And then we're going to, let's see, the first verses. Eight verses of training of the mind by Geshe-la Rinpoche. Donna Senchen Tanchela, Eugene Norway Lithabi, Don Chodrabi Sambai, Dr. Chiban Zambasho. By thinking of the all sentient beings as a more precious than a wish fulfilling jewel for accomplishing the highest aim, I will always hold them dear. So this also, we can say, we would like to, normally in the material world, we like to buy some things, clothes, that good quality, look nice. And also some people have any material things you like to kind of make ornament for yourself, like necklace or ring or anything, perfume, all these, not only your own comfortable, but also comfortable or it looks good from other people's point of view. So that's why people spend a lot of time to make hair or take care of many things. Even very small detail, taking care of one's body and the dress. And other kind of convenience also important. But similarly, we should also taking care of our mind, or there is a beauty shop of the face, but we should have a beautiful mind. To there's a shop for training one's mind to become more kind of patient, more compassionate attitude, and so inner ornament is like we should study like eight verses of mind training. These teachings make us internally have the magnificent scene or that beautiful kind of a inner view or what's it called, sceneries. So the first, of course, is about we should have a value or important source of the teachings and the cherishing others. For some people, as we said, as a selfish motivated motive, the person, then we don't value much of others' existence. Some people value that plants, trees, and some these more than maybe human being. Some people like a cat or dog or some other pets or animal in the wild side, but not much connection or not much kind of dear feeling towards human being. Some people may do. Some people only select a few people or maybe 10, 100, but not much or other than that number of people you don't have a much connection, you don't care. Or if they said, oh, in Iraq or something, many people died, and you may not have as much feeling. So, similarly, if we go to tombs or the people dead, the on the buried site, if you see the name of many people, you don't. Maybe some people have a very great compassion. They have feelings and they pray for them or something. But for some people, feel scared and some people feel kind of disgust or something. People may not have much feeling. But once you, if you have a chance to knew individuals in buried and their life in the early life as a child and brought up by parents and their happiness and the difficulties and also many things. If you have a encounter, some kind of a warm relationship with these people, you have a rise. Each of those people have a special place in your heart, and also able to understand their kind of these each individual very important. You will want to kind of just to see the number or sign of the name, but also behind that is the spirit or life or things like that. So from Buddhist point of view, every sentient beings in once upon a time, we had a kind of very good, close relationship as a, you know, kindness between, kindness each other and benefit each other. These. So for people who wanted to not practicing Buddhism, just the normal people, you can say without a human relationship, we cannot have a successful or a happy life. All different, whether we know or not, even one thing, you only doing one thing, but you got hundreds of things, kind of you benefit from others. And I produce wood or paper, but my product is only kind of a very limited product. But through this, I can get others' work, fruits of others' work, and so I can watch TV. I can have electricity. I can have many kind of different books or written by many people spending their time and energy, and also food, clothing, and everything is from kind of hard work by other people. So although we say, oh, this is I paid, but if you think pay is most the kind of essential the part, actually more we should cherish their existence, because in some place or sometimes if you have a money that it become a paper, or if you have a gold, if you don't have food, you will, gold is for nothing. Their story or the real situation, like many people have like 1962 or 61 in some places in Tibet also too, many people hungry. They have a quarrel and silver and amber, many precious kind of stone or things, but you cannot eat them. So there's some many people sick and death. So it happens. So similarly, what we were saying here is that we should more value others' work, and there we should have we can have this comfortable life is appreciate. We should appreciate for all works of other people, not only people but animal also, bees and ants or flies or different. And that not their activities brought immense benefit to circling the development or continuation of this life, helping each other. So this is one thing we should love or care about sentient beings. And another level is, as we said, all sentient being as a close once upon a time or many times in Buddhist teachings that since we have a beginless of a life, form of life after life. So, and we have to rely on the sentient beings to not only this life comfortable of this life or supporting, sustain of the life, but also even enlightenment without a sentient being is impossible to achieve. This Buddha also said, sentient beings are the kind of a ready, the all sentient beings are future Buddha, we can say this. All Buddhas are future, the previously, pre, kind of, the before that is a sentient being. So, we, and also all Buddha, or the highest achievement of a spiritual abilities, Buddha, in his kind of teaching, often emphasized two, field of merit. One is said that you should study and Buddha Dharma and enlightened guidance. And another is how you really practice is practice with the sentient beings and helping sentient beings and helped by sentient beings during the training. If you want to practice of patience or you want to practice of generosity without sentient being, you cannot do it. But this is your own quality also alongside of this activity, your own quality also improves. For example, one time I wanted to have some food to share and one also a blanket I wanted to give to some people. And I went to drive to San Leandro, downtown San Leandro. And I seen nobody there. And then, if you want to do something small good, but without some people to accept, you cannot practice that kind of, so their existence are great, important. For practitioners, and also said in other kind of pure form of pure realms of pure world, I can say some bodhisattvas also admired the human kind of existence. They have a many chance to practice mind training and engaging with these paramita trainings, six paramita, transcendental wisdom, and also other kind of skillful means. So then they are very, very admired our place that one want to really have a lot of opportunity to practice of these. So sentient beings, Buddha have said this, like a tree, the roots is sentient being, And the flower and the fruits are the Bodhisattva and the Buddha. And how you make a tree ripen the fruition through use the condition of the moisture, and also the, of course, the earth or something. But the moisture is very important. Sunlight is important. These are like mind training. You are doing mind training, different aspect of mind training, compassion, love, and kindness. Then to the, you are watering your tree, and then the tree grows, eventually bring the fruition. So similarly, our practice, if you wanted to attain enlightenment or achieve Buddhahood, the most important is to focus on the sentient beings, as we should water on the roots of the tree, not like on the top of some leaves or something. So, so the roots got in nutrition, or the observing the water, then they can send to up to the fruition, and also giving fruition, ripen the fruits, we can say. So for these, the cherishing others, very important. If family members, also important to cherish each other, because sometimes we knew each other for a long time. So one have a very judgmental mind, or he said, oh, you did this in that time, you said this on that time, you something that people remember something good and bad sometimes. So for this, we should say if something unsatisfied by you, or something did wrong by other person, you should forgive. Because not everyone enlightened like Buddha, they do mistakes. It's part of human life. And also each person have a different capacity to transform themselves. So we cannot wish them are perfect or something, but we should respect what they are, and based on like real situation. If you don't respect the real situation, what kind of development and change you can do? Difficult. So we should respect, like you grow in a tree. If you the tree itself already have a shape and already have the quality. So from starting that, then you can kind of nurturing that tree, embrace on something doing good. Otherwise, it's if you don't accept the original one, then how can you help to develop? So it's difficult. So then the first attitude is, doesn't matter already due to many cause and effect, or even past life kind of karma, one have a certain qualities. Some are very wonderful. Some are maybe not that kind of a satisfied kind of a situation. Some are maybe half situation. So when those happen, then we should develop attitude that not only this one person, but I will show in my mind or in my heart, I hold all sentient beings, all of the sentient beings who wish kind of a happiness and want to avoid suffering, and see them as the precious wish-fulfilling jewel. That is said, wish-fulfilling jewel, as we said, in a relative world, their existence is our basic kind of fundamental life related to them. And the second, even you wanted to achieve a Buddhahood without sentient being, it's not possible. So for temporary happiness or ultimate kind of achievement, you need sentient beings. Sentient beings have a you cannot have a certain in life or after life that really you, how to say, this in this life we have this family members and this human connection. In previous life maybe we have a different, or in future life we may have a very different life. So we make our kindness or love towards all sentient beings, not only few. If you try to hang on the few, then very difficult. Even this life, possibly you can, but after this life, you, the cleaning towards only one, a very biased kind of a one-sided, very preconditioned kind of a love and attitude, or limits your capacity and limits your own kind of a freedom. So you should, one should practice of a great vast compassion, vast towards all sentient beings. Even sometimes all sentient beings is just a concept, but you should say, as long as the space and time remain, all the sentient beings in the space and time, so I shall kind of pray and have a dear, holding them dear in your mind. So there are some different translations of this first verses. I will read another one. May I always cherish all limited beings by considering how far superior they are, to which granting gems for gems. This is like a wish for an angel. Gems for actualizing the supreme aim. I think maybe a different way to summarize or the this four lines. This is one translated in very accurate Tibetan words, kind of line by line, but this is a more kind of a, from easy to understand the whole meaning, I think. So then I think we should go to the second verses. I read in Tibetan. Whenever I am in the company of others, I will regard myself as the lowest among all. And from the depth of my heart, cherish others as a supreme. This is a very important quality. First one is to try to reduce the first line, as we said, source of teaching and the cherishing others. This kind of a reduce the self-centered attitude. Self-centered attitude or ego grasping is the most intoxicated kind of way of thinking that spoils everything. Over exaggerating self, then become lonely feeling, easily become aggressive, easily kind of not able to associate with the people, compare, cooperate with the people, because self, there are too much self-centered than much fear created from inner mind. And also you're not easily trust by others, and you don't trust people by so many self-centered feeling. So also self-centered attitude is the most important enemy of to develop your the develop bodhicitta mind, compassionate mind. So the most obscurations are not from outside or individuals or any situation, but only the attitude of yourself. You should check if benefit, most benefit is from your own attitude. If the obscurations also created by inner kind of mind of oneself. So help or the become obscurations depends on your own, how much able to manage your mind or how much kind of a embrace of the fertilizing, like you have nurturing your mind, become more positive, more compassionate. This is the key or the pith instructions to one's happiness and enlightenment. And the second, as we just read, that one is the being humble. It's important. As a one selfish people, difficult to become humble. Only by defeat, maybe you totally defeat, then maybe become humble. Then it's a temporary. Some people even have a more aggressive kind of a situation, came bounce back even after defeat. But this humble is no need to defeat, but it's keep yourself confident and also same time have humble. If one said, I'm the best, I'm the smartest, I have the best of this and that, that kind of is the ego, and also what's it called, a not proud but over proud, then become how to say that, I don't remember the words. The too much kind of showing or feeling over too much proud, then said you cannot learn, you cannot improve yourself, but you are decreasing your qualities and don't see quality of others and the thoughts of yourself. Then being humble is important. Even you did great thing, if people say, oh, you did this, you are great, then you say, oh, that is kind of a not much. I'm trying. Like in America, some people say, I'm trying. Even maybe that is humble, but maybe more humble is a kind of a, this is not a, you shouldn't count on me. Or shouldn't, like the, not overhead or by praising these things. But humble, yeah, some people may think if you become humble, then other people will step over you, or you become humble, then people take advantage of you, or even kind of harm you, that kind of feeling. Or even people understand or read as you have a low esteem or pessimistic kind of attitude. That is a very different. One person could able to have a fully confident and optimism, and also same time very humble. I think this did great by His Holiness Dalai Lama. He always kind of showing the smile and always keep his head low for meeting and other places, people, respect, and always keep his palm many times, many occasions, or in the front of his chest and his palm, and showing the respect. But at the same time, any business people or politicians or any kind of a scholar or scientist or any person meet him, he have a full kind of a full of the warm feeling and also confident to meet any person, even criticizing or some people shouting, but he have a very kind of stable and the patience of to hearing others, and also able to communicate with any kind of situation. So he don't say bad thing towards others, even kind of a harmful kind of deed in past time, but he will mostly, most of the time he's saying something good. Maybe one system, if you say one system is very bad, then he will maybe say the system is not the good. But individual people, he will rarely accuse anybody. I've never heard of he saying anybody in bad way. Also, like that, like in his time, I think Mao Zedong or like that is theoretically is most harmful for him and other people. But he always, when he mentioned Mao Zedong or something, he was saying always he made some mistake on old age, but before that power or before power of can corrupt many people, otherwise he's kind of a good, how he saw this many kind of a the aspiration for carrying some good motivation is very high in those days. Not only one person, but all society very eager and excited to create new world and a very developed and civilized society. Although then many unfortunate situation, movement, and some kind of a internal conflict happens, then making this direction towards very complicated way. So anyway, this is what we said, being humble. So this also, you can, these are very daily kind of practice. You can practice anyone nearby you, or you should, you don't need to think about far away or some people not reachable. But you can, this is a practice for each one, possibly able to gradually able to do this practice. Maybe even not this life, but the future life, you will, through, because of you studied this 8 verses of bodhicitta, mind training, then next life will be much kind of a trained or much good qualities continue in planned in this life. Also, this life you can achieve a lot of things, achieve. Like one person, some people buying drugs and many life-threatening drugs for just a short time of comfort. Just to forget everything. He feel amazing, feel amazingly comfortable, that kind of feeling. But you don't need anything, spending your money or use, risk your life to do anything like that. You should train your mind. And training your mind to become compassionate mind, you will be much sustainable and continually much guaranteed for not only this life, but future lives. You will be kind of a civilized, more kind of beings and associated with that kind of society. And you're born as a form of like taking rebirth. in good human, the form of a body, or family, or something. So practice is happening in daily life and every, each of your days. So this first said, whenever I am in a company with others, so maybe pandemic time, some people like me, I don't have meet any much people. But if you do, I also meet some like over the phone or like class or something. So regard myself as the lowest amount. This, as I said before, this is because of we should think that training of mind is very important for this life, quality of this life, and then enlightenment. So respect is the first step to training your mind. And then even you say, oh, no training mind, then the no sentient beings nor have a, not no opportunity to train your mind. And there are any sentient beings, if you can train your mind, then you will be able to reach some good qualities of your inner qualities. And eventually that quality also can make you a practice of a path on enlightenment and able to help others. So for these, one can say we should keep lowest amongst all that kind of attitude. So if you meet people, person, if they are very self-disciplined and also very kind and always not competing with you or giving you pressure or disturbing you, but they are very kind of a hold you as a very, very kind of a dear to them, like they are servant either yourself or something, then you also wanted to do same thing. So these are see, some people may think, oh, people won't do this, so I also want to do, I don't want to practice this because other people won't do it, the same thing to me. But actually, if you can do practice of this, your inner quality will be much, much, capable. Other people maybe because of a proud or over selfish or something, they cannot, they have a very certain limited kind of flexibility and a limited kind of a opportunity, and also mind not easy to deal with their own mind. But if you have the training, you can have a more ability and a merit to serve all, and also individual, each individual definitely transform the atmosphere and the environment of yourself. If you do this, and then people, everybody will kind of have a sweet memory and also want to study or learn from you, inspire, even they cannot do it immediately, but they appreciate or they have a, if you do good things, nobody kind of say that is bad. Of course, doing good is can see, heard, or feel by anyone in surrounding you. So this is important. So then it said, and from the depth of my heart, I cherish others as a supreme. So for this, sincerity is important. Without the sincere feeling, then lowest or these are kind of just a show. You try to kind of say, oh, how does it? I did this because you should kind of do same thing. I'm quickly expected you also do the same thing, or then we are have not a sincere kind of motivation. We are doing kind of business model of changing immediately. I have to receive something, a benefit from you, that kind of feeling. So for this, this is it. From depth of your heart, you should, from depth of my heart, cherish others as a supreme. So we appreciate anybody and there are many sentient beings, there are many human beings on the earth, but a close relationship or have a every day can meet or see, or these people are very most precious. I remember one American boxer, he once when he's kind of fighting, but after that people say, yeah, this is a wrong decision, or judge they made the wrong decision. So people blame him, and he was upset. Many people yelling and even threatening life. So he was very, very kind of sad. And then even he wanted to attempt to commit suicide. That's the real situation. And I saw an interview one. A very famous boxer. I think his name is Timothy Bradley or something like that. And then his family also not happy. And he once in those sad time, he went to Hawaii with family. And then his driving car cut off with one car, and then something stopped. And another person also stopped him, and then they roll down the window. Then he was trying, because his energy is very bad, he wanted to kind of argue or something, say something nasty words, something like that. But when he rolled over down the window, other person didn't say anything bad, but he is kind of showing kind of hand or like a sign language. He showed him, said, are you like drunk or something? Like he giving him a very nice smile or something. The not angry face. It's a kind kind of feeling. Giving him a kind of a warm kind of a, can remind him drive safely, something like that. And at that moment, he was kind of healed. Because of social media, he's not very happy because so many people are saying very bad thing to him. Even very, very famous people don't know anything about his field of the work, but they're judged by him, judged by others, him. But he suddenly kind of realized if he had some accident or something, his children or wife or these are very important for him. And other internet or these, not much direct connection, which he should kind of forgive or ignore, because they don't really actually, if you want to fight or something, everywhere you can find fighting and conflict. But then if you want to taking care of your mind and taking care of your surrounding people, that is your kind of a primary, oriented kind of a priorities you should taking care of your family. So similarly, surrounding people like your coworkers also too. So from any even past time, if you have an unhappy kind of a moment of something, but you should from depth of your heart thinking about you should training your mind also able to serve the people, sentient beings, starting from your nearby person, people from inner kind of a gradually the expand that love and the compassion towards all sentient beings. But if otherwise, if you say all sentient beings, but you also not able to transform basic kind of a relationship and a situation, then that training is not much impact. So although we have a lot of thing to say, but the time is there. So yes, arrogant, yes, not arrogant is harmful. So today, our two main point is to cherish others generally, and especially starting from your kind of close people, and being humble towards all people, all sentient beings, and respect others. So these two training will kind of save your life and save your spirit, save your future, kind of drawn to bad karmic consequences. So it's a very short but important training. So until next Monday, we will focus on these two verses. And you can do meditation in the morning, noontime, afternoon, on these two lines related to your real life. And then you often check how much you did. You can improve of this. So we don't have a kind of a time today to do together meditation, but the next class we will try spend a little time to do meditation together. And that's it today. We'll dedicate this merit. I think, let's see, dedication. Maybe we don't, I don't see my also, but I will read this. May the lives of a glorious master be secure. May the all sentient beings enjoy happiness and peace. May we all accumulate merit and wisdom, purifying all negative karma and sweetly reach enlightenment. Thank you very much. And again, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Tashidelo.
Thank you very much, Rinpoche.
Thank you.
I'm happy to hear you.
happy to hear your voice.
So happy and, to hear your voice. Yes, so happy to hear your voice.
We'll see next Monday.
All right.
And yes. Any kind of situation, you can write the email. Sometimes I don't read much email, even not open for a period of time. But you can also make a phone call, and if you want to ask a question or something.
Okay.
Or you can read. All of you have a best wish.
Yes. You also, Rinpoche. Have a good one.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. Yes, yes. Next week then.
Yeah, next week.
Okay, Katie. See you next week too.
Great evening.
Good evening.
Yeah.
Signing off now.
Yeah, sure. Keep in touch.
Okay, we will. Bye-bye.
Bye.